Would you be seated, please? And they opened their treasure and offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Three Gentiles, well, it doesn't say three exactly, we've inferred from the fact that they gave three gifts that there were three. We know almost nothing about them. We assume probably safely that they were men. We have assumed also that they were astrologers because their journey had been prompted by the rising of a star. In English, we have come to call them wise men, which is certainly one permissible translation of the Greek word magoi, or the more familiar Latin magi. But this same word also carried a second, usually pejorative meaning in Jesus' time, that of magician. And in fact, the words are obviously etymologically related. The fact is that we're dealing with a story, perhaps even a legend, which is attested nowhere else, not even in Scripture, and we simply do not know exactly what or who these men were. And I mention this because this very ambiguity, I think, allows us considerable latitude then in how we go on to interpret the meaning of their gift giving. Now, if we begin from the observation that the Magi believed that Jesus was God, and there's no ambiguity whatsoever about this in the story, because when Matthew says that they fell down and worshipped him, he uses the specific word for worship, which is reserved for the worship of God alone, not mere honor, but worship. And if that's the case, then we can go on to draw some conclusions about what constitutes appropriate gift giving when God, God's self, is the recipient. Now, this is an interesting twist, isn't it? Because throughout most of the Christmas season, we've been concentrating rather on the gift of which we have been the recipients, namely Jesus, and God has been the giver. But what happens when we turn the whole thing on its head? By far, the majority of commentators simply accept the fact that the Magi offered gifts to Jesus, which have been chosen with care to reflect his unique identity. In the same way that you and I labored to purchase gifts for our friends, which suit their interests or their peculiarities. And so they brought gifts that befit Jesus. Gold, it is said, is a precious metal, is the gift for a king. The wise men, by their own admission, believed themselves to be searching for the king of the Jews. That's what they asked Herod. Since Herod thought he was the king, you can understand why he was a bit upset. Frankincense was a normal concomitant of Jewish worship. Incense, as it rose up, was thought to symbolize the people's very prayers rising up to God. Let my prayers be set forth as incense in your sight, the psalmist says. And as the well-known carol puts it, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising people, raising worship him, God Most High. Terrible hymn, great words, in my opinion. And myrrh, even at his cradle, was the bitter burial spice presented in token of Jesus' passion and death. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a sigh of gathering gloom. This boy was born to die. So these were the gifts the wise men brought to Jesus because they believed he was God. And I am led to ask, therefore, if I believe the same thing, that is, that Jesus is the very Son of God, then what shall I bring? What are the gifts that are in my gift that I could offer in token of who Jesus is? How can I symbolize what I believe about this Jesus in my choice of gift? For example, if I believe that he is the Word of God, then perhaps an appropriate offering would be a time of silence each day. That is, a time when I would allow that word to get a word in edgewise. Or if I believe that he is the resurrection and the life, then perhaps I would determine to spend a little less time in those occupations which are deadly or deadening. For instance, passively watching television or clinging to the mattress in the morning. I'm sure I don't need to go on. You take my point that, like the Magi, we can offer to Jesus gifts which reflect our estimation of him. But I go back now to that minority view that these Magi were, in fact, magicians, priests of a sort of occult power given to sorcery. One commentator I read suggests, therefore, a completely different reading of their gift-giving. He proposes, rather, that the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh were the tools of the sorcerer's trade. Did you know that the easiest place to buy myrrh, by the way, is an occult shop? It's true. I'm just saying. In any case, if this is so, then the gift-giving of the Magi was more accurately a giving up. They set before Jesus all the props by which they had so far got on in life in exchange for the divine power that he would bestow upon them. True or false, there is some wisdom in this interpretation, and so I'm led to ask the corollary question, if Jesus is God, then what must I give up? What are the silly little props by which I get on in life, which are not only redundant in the face of a companion who is the revelation of God, but an appalling insult to that companion's identity? Why should I have to work 70 hours a week to believe that I'm valuable when I've been created by the agency of this Jesus, who must surely value his creation at least as much as I value anything I create? Or why should I have to fortify myself by the abuse of chemicals or food or drink or whatever other addictions afflict the human spirit? If Jesus is God and I have come to him, what must I give up? Surrender. And there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child Jesus was. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Amen.